Today, the title of the sermon is Freedom to Be. To be who? Me. Freedom to be me. I want to talk to you today about the gospel, how the gospel sets us free. And the gospel is a message that Jesus brought of how he laid down his life for us and rose again that we can have forgiveness of sin and forgiveness of the past, and that he can give us a brand new identity. We become a new creation. And so today is, how does that set us free? And the scriptures is out of John chapter 8 today. It says, to the Jews, if you want to read it together, let's read it together. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Well, I guess good reading. Good reading. So when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And what sets you free? The truth sets you free. And who is called the truth? Jesus. I heard this story by a guy called Leighton Gilkey. He wrote a book called Shanton Compound. And he was in went to university in the States in the 1930s, and he studied English. Ended up going to China in 1940-41 to teach in a Chinese, teach English in a Chinese university. And I don't know if you remember your story, but in 1943, I think it was, the Japanese occupied China, and all foreigners was put into a compound. Something like 2,000 was put into a compound in less than a block square. And they were basically left to fend for themselves and try to survive. And this Leighton, he said he was an unbeliever. He actually believed that man with his rational mind could create a society that was good and cared for everyone, and he thought he never thought that man could actually be generally bad. But when he came into this compound, he discovered that when it was about survival, everybody that he saw was reduced to like animal behavior. They tried to survive, and they stole, and they lied, and they cheated, and they did whatever is trying to survive. Even some people who was monks and pastors or among them, he said he was shocked that they would do this. They were just very incredible selfish. But here comes the good news. There was one guy among them all who was different. How many like to be the one person who is different? And his name that some of you recognize is Eric Little. How many has ever heard of Eric Little? How many has ever watched the movie called Chariot of Fire? Eric Little actually had Chinese parents who was missionaries to China. He grew up in China and went to Scotland to go to Bible school. And he was a runner. He was a fast runner. And he was running in the Olympics in, I think it was 1920-something. And in the Olympics, he had trained to run 100 meters, but 100 meters was on Sunday. What's wrong with Sunday? It's a Lord's Day. And he said, I am not going to run. And like he has the whole country backing him up and saying, we're watching you. You're going to run for us. You are a national hero. And he said, nope, because God comes first. How do I know when somebody's free? When they're able to stand up against the pressures and intimidations of other people and stand for what they believe. I know they're free. And so against all pressures, he stood his ground and he said, I'm not going to run. And he was the favorite. So instead, they arranged for him to run, I think it was 400 meters and another 200 meters. So he set up to run another race that he was never actually trained for. And before he went into the race, a little girl, or one of the team workers came out and gave him a note and says, those who honor God, he will honor. And he won and set a record, gold record. I mean, not gold record. He got a gold medal, but he broke the record for 400 meters. So, after that, he went to China as a missionary, and he ended up in this compound. And Leighton watched this guy, who was so different from everyone else. He said, Eric Little, he went out and looking after the youth. He said, youth was so vulnerable, and he did games with them, and he did sports with them, and he taught them about Jesus. And when I checked up to this story, I found another little note in there. It was that he had, a year before, like in 1944, about a year before the end of the war, there was a prisoner exchange. And Eric Little was to be exchanged. But instead of allowing himself to be released, there was a woman who was pregnant. And he said, you take my place. And a few weeks before he died, I mean, a few weeks before the end of the war, he actually died from a tumor. He had a wife and three kids. But Leighton says, I have never seen anything like that. And through Eric Little's demonstration, Leighton became a believer in Jesus Christ. And he discovered that man, left to his own, it can be very selfish and sinful. He needs a Savior. Why am I talking about freedom? And what am I talking about when I talk about Jesus sets us free? I'm saying that there is a man in the prison whose name is Eric Little, who was indeed confined by his outward circumstances, yet in his heart and in his spirit, he was free to be what God had called him to be. Amen. So freedom, it's not merely free from outward constraints. True freedom is really something that comes from within. You know, modern day society, you know, I grew up, I know some of you don't know what happened in the 70s and 60s. Well, some do. And especially in Europe, and probably in the States too. But we had long hair. Remember how many here had long hair? And beards. And it was smoking weed, and it was, you know, and it was actually a rebellion against the society. And the whole idea was, you know, I can do what I want to do. I can do it when I want to do it, and I can do it how I want to do it. No one is going to tell me what to do. Nobody remember those days? And so, free from all restraints, love whoever you want to love, which means have sex with whoever you want to have sex, smoke up whatever you want to smoke up, it is just gives you another euphoria. And so they had all these concerts and whatever, and it was just a mayhem. It was a sinful place. My friends, to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, does not bring freedom. Can you just imagine for a moment if you raise your child and say you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and you can do it however you want to do it. Can you just imagine what that looks like? You create a little monster who will run over you. But the sad tragedy about that whole thing is they will kill themselves too. They will destroy themselves. If I say I want to eat whatever I want to eat, whenever I want to eat it, and however much I want to eat it, guess what happens one day? The doctor's going to say, Hans, if you continue to do what you're doing, you are not going to live a whole lot longer. So just because we have freedom, not every desire will lead to actually freedom. It will lead to destruction. So we need to know. We actually need to know what liberates us and what doesn't. How many believe that's true? So the Bible says, a lot of things. How many knows the Bible says lots of things? And you see, what I get lots of times is this. Christianity is restraining. If I really commit myself to Jesus, you know, he said in the first line in John 8, he says, if you obey me, you know, my teachings, then you will be my disciples, and the truth will set you free. How many read that a few minutes ago? Many people say, you know, if I really, truly believe and follow Jesus, then my life will be curtailed and all the fun will be taken out of it. Now, remember the Ten Commandments in Exodus 22. What we need to see is what God said just before he said the Ten Commandments. What did he say in Exodus 22? He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Do you know what he's saying? He says, I am the one who set you free. I'm the God who liberates you. And then he goes on to say, and here is some directives for your life. Not suggestions, but directives. And the Bible is full of directives in your life. And the first thing he says, do not have any other gods. And he goes on to list them all, 10 of them. But in Hebrew, actually, it was never to be, they don't call it 10 commandments. They call it 10 utterances. Or 10 directions. And you know what he's saying when he's saying this? He's saying to us that if you want to be free, listen to me. You cannot be free if you steal and kill and destroy. You cannot be free if you have other gods. You cannot be free. But if you are free, and you see, these people have been set free from Egypt and slavery, and they brought into the desert to come to the promised land. And if you are free, guess what you're going to do when you're free? This is what he's saying. He's saying, if you are free, you will not have any other gods. You will not make God in another image. You'll not misrepresent his name. You'll honor your father and mother. You'll keep the Sabbath day holy. You'll be different. You'll be different because you are free. And you see, freedom means you actually become the very person that God created you to be. And the very person God created you to be is to receive love and to give it away. And you know, that's ultimately how you glorify your God. Amen. Now, I read this by a guy. Well, I heard it. It was a guy called Foster Wallace. And he said, you know, we all live for something. We all worship something. It's actually an illusion to think that you can be totally free of and being autonomous and just do whatever you want to do. That is actually an illusion. How many knows we're not that independent of other people? We are like shows with people, right? We exist because of other people. We react because of other people. We live because of other people. And so we're not that so independent as we think we are. And he says, whatever you choose to value in your life and make your God, that's what's going to consume you. And he actually went on and said, that's going to devour you. So he said, for example, if you value money and possession, you're always going to feel you don't have enough. If you value your body and you know, the sexual attractions, and you're always going to feel that you're ugly. If you value power, and you're always going to feel that you're going to be fear that you don't have power enough, and you want to control people, and you want to manipulate people because you want to get up the power because you're afraid that somehow you're never going to have enough. Here's one that I had trouble with once. If you worship your intellect, you want other people to think that you're smart. And you always live in fear that somehow you're going to be exposed and they're going to find out you're not so smart. And you know what? They think you're always going to compare yourself to others who are smarter than you, so you're never actually going to be intellectually enough. You're never going to be smart enough because there's always somebody who's smarter than you. If you worship your career, you will always feel that you can't do enough. And you'll work yourself to the bones. But if, and this guy is not a believer, but this is what Jesus says. If you worship him, the one who is the deliverer of your soul, then you'll be set free. The liberator of your spirit, if you worship him, he'll set you free. Jesus is the one who knows you. You know what I find is most people are afraid that if somebody just knew them, they wouldn't like them. So they put on a mask and they exaggerate and they don't, you know, they don't ever want to share their shortcomings. And in fact, in their minds, sometimes they don't have any shortcomings, but it's really just a mask because they don't want any people to know. Because they're afraid if they really knew them, then they wouldn't love them. They'll be disgusted. But Jesus Christ knows you. They know the depth of your sin. But in the midst of that, he's saying, I love you. I love you so much I died on the cross for you. And on the cross, it wasn't just to set you free from sin. It was to show you how valuable you are. Or some of you don't get that. You have believed the lie of the enemy that somehow you're not good enough. But Jesus went on the cross because he saw what you have a hard time seeing yourself. If you worship him, he'll set you free from your guilt and your shame, and he will endow with you a new identity as a son and a daughter of God. How many things is worthy to worship him? You're always going to worship somebody, and whoever you worship, you're going to be slave to. So why not be slave to somebody who's willing to lay down his life for you? Tim Keller said this. He said, if you think that freedom is to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and however you want to do it, then you can actually never experience what really gives you freedom. And that is love. When you love somebody, And it doesn't have to be romantic love, but when you love somebody, automatically that your freedom is going to be curtailed. How many know that when you got married? And you said to your wife, honey, this Sunday, I'm going to go to Regina and watch a football game. And she says, excuse me? Or you say, I'm going to go play golf this afternoon. And I said, well, I have different plans. And you say, well, too bad, and find somebody else you want to marry. So love always means that your freedom is curtailed. Your outward freedom is curtailed. But there is nothing but that love relationship that actually helps you to become the person you God created you to be. How many knows that's been true? But if you actually believe that you need to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, you can never experience that. How many believe that's true? So let's go back to the scripture. And I just wanted to lay it out for a few minutes, and then I want us to pray. Go back to John chapter 8 for a second. So Jesus says that the truth will set you free. And of course, he's talking about you. He's talking about Jesus being the truth. He's talking about the gospel. And then he goes on to say, let's go back to the previous scripture there. It says, then you'll know the truth. And they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. And you know, sometimes we sit here in the pew and we think, well, I have never been slaves to anyone. I'm not a slave. Come on, Hans. I'm not a slave. But some of us are. It may not be a physical slavery. It is a mental, emotional, spiritual slavery that causes us not to be free. And what causes that slavery? It is called sin. Now, then Jesus does this. He says, now a slave has no right, has no permanent place in the household. How many has read that? But a son, go on to the next one, that's good. But a son belongs to it forever. What is he saying? This is what he's saying. If you think a slave has a relationship to his master as a worker has to his boss, you basically do these things so that you get paid. And somehow, if God is your boss, you relate to him like it, and you feel that if I just do these things, then somehow he owes me this to me. He needs to do this for me. I have paid my dues, so now I get my food and my salary. That's how you relate, and that's how religion relates to God. If I do all these things, somehow I can earn my acceptance into heaven. So you strive. And people who strive are not free. They always live in fear that somehow they're not good enough. And so he says, a slave has no permanent, he had no permanent place, because if he does not measure up, the master can say goodbye. You're fired. However, and this is the point, a son never gets fired. A daughter never gets fired. They never live in fear that somehow they're going to get kicked out, because they belong to God the Father. And that's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that through faith in him, we become adopted as sons and daughters into his kingdom, into his relationship to the Father, and there is no more need to strive. He has already done it for you. Your response to that, my friends, is that of love and worship and praise. Eric Little, my friends, did not go around trying to save those young people and help them because he felt that if he did that, somehow you earn points in heaven and God will accept him when he died. He did that because he loved Jesus, because he had realized and received his amazing forgiveness and grace, and he understood it in his spirit, and he lived like a free man who was able to give and to give because God had poured his love into him. Do you see the difference? He didn't say to the woman who was pregnant, "Take my place," just because somehow or another he thought he would earn his way into acceptance and God will applaud him. He didn't do that. He probably never thought of that. What he thought was, my Savior died for me. I can die for her. The Lord forgive me. I can forgive him. The Lord gave me everything I need for life. I can give it to him. Jesus didn't want us to deal with God as a boss, but as a father. And you know what happens to kids when they rebel? As a parent, do you kick them out? No. In fact, you give them even more attention. And you begin to pray for them and fast for them. I remember Paul, I'm going to use you as a little bit of example here. But I remember when Paul was not really where he needed to be with God. And he was, you know, a little bit rebellious. And you know, we didn't really do hang around with the people you wanted to hang around in. And so what did my wife do? She prayed and fasted for him. She was concerned. We didn't kick him out. We loved him. How many knows how many has been parents and that's what you have done? And the Bible says that when one is lost, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one who's lost. Our Father in heaven, he goes after us, and when we repent of it, he actually forgives us. Amen. So, how does that work for me? What is this all about? What's this all about? I got 3 minutes to do this. Todd White. How many has ever heard of Todd White? He was 11 years old when his dad said, "Your mother no longer loves me, and she's leaving." He became very angry and ended up in a boys' school. And how many knows why he's got angry? Why do you think he got angry? He was hurt, right? And so he got into boys' school, got into crack, found a girl, got her pregnant. They had a child, a girl. And he was bound, okay? He was not free. He was bound to drug addictions, anger, unforgiveness, and a whole pile of stuff. So one day his girlfriend said, I don't want to live here anymore. I'm tired of you. And so he said, if you kick me out, I'm going to kill myself. And so she took him back, and then one other time he said, I'm tired of you, leave. And so he went out and he found a number in a telephone book of a church. He went to the church and he said to the pastor, I need help. And the pastor led him to Jesus and he asked for forgiveness and asked Jesus in his life. He went home and smoked up some more crack. And then he asked for forgiveness and he kept going. He was continuously repeating the same cycles and asked for forgiveness. So one day, he went to a car to buy some crack or drugs. And the dealer sat in his car, and he said to the dealer, "Listen, I'm an undercover police officer. step out, put up your hands on the car. And the guy did. And then he stepped on the gas. And the guy had a 9mm in his pocket. And within 10 feet away, he took it and he emptied it. And he said, amazingly, not a single bullet hit me or even dented the car. I went home shaking, smoking up some more crack, and thinking to myself, what's going on? And then he heard God say, are you ready to surrender your life to me? You see, freedom. Freedom comes from admitting I have a problem. Admitting I have a problem to pornography. Admitting I have a problem with anger. I actually have a problem with addictions. This is my problem. And then you surrender. How many knows you can surrender in many areas of your life? And when he surrendered, he ended up going to Teen Challenge. And he had an amazing, I don't have time to share the whole thing, but he has an amazing encounter one day with an elderly man walking down with a grocery cart. And it turned out probably it was an angel talking to him. Then God said, go home. And he went home. And as he came into the door, his little girl came running to him. Said, Daddy, 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 you're home. You're home. You're going to come and live with us. And he said, no, I can't. I can't live with you. He had been kicked out by his girlfriends. And the last words he ever heard was, I don't want you in my life. And then his girlfriend came and said, honey, you can't live here because we're not married. And Todd said, excuse me, you want to marry me? And she said, yes. While you were gone, I became a Christian. I became a believer. And I want to marry you. But you can't live here until we're married. So the pastor was there and he said, well, next Sunday we can marry you. And they got married. And since then, they have 3 kids. Why am I telling this story? Because this man got set free. And when he got set free, he found his place in the house of God. Jesus Christ invites us into a loving relationship. When one person loves another, but it's not returned, it's kind of exploitation. But when one person gives and the other one returns it, it's love. And Jesus Christ returned his love for your love. When he went on the cross, he let go of his freedom. He let go of his power. He let go of his rights so that you can have forgiveness, that you can have freedom from the past. He's saying to us, as I have adjusted my life for you, are you willing to adjust your life for me? Because if you do, you will walk free. But if you glued to the pew and said, nobody's going to tell me what to do, God says, go for it. Sit there all you want. Sit there all you want. Nothing will change until you surrender. I don't want anybody to know. I'm not asking you to publicize all your problems. But God needs to know. Not that he doesn't know, he already. But when you confess it and is willing to bow your knee and says, Lord, I need you. You're inviting him in to set you free. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. 8, that wasn't too bad. 7 minutes. For the last few months, the Lord has spoken to me about the gospel, the very simple message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm beginning to discover how it impacts you in so many areas of your life and why it's so powerful. Unfortunately, many of us have struggles believing it is for us and really believing that it can change us and set us free. How many is ready to respond to Him? So, Father, I pray tonight. No, not tonight. This is morning. I pray that we all get hold of it. It's not by our striving. It's not you as our boss. It's not because we live in fear of what you may do to us and not do to us. It's because of your amazing love that is going this wider and deeper and higher and lower, Lord, that we can even imagine. It is so amazing love, Father, that we don't hardly understand it. But Lord, would you make that even a greater reality in us, that Father, as it falls from our head into our hearts, Lord, we walk in that amazing reality that we are sons and daughters in the kingdom and we belong to you, Lord. We are not slaves. We are children of God with an inheritance, with a future, with hope, with eternal life. Help us to walk that out. And I ask God that if there are things in this place that hinders that freedom, Lord, that we will be bold enough to bring it to you. Whether that is fear or worry, anxiety, stress, anger, unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy, and in a sense that I can never measure up, if it's all those things, Father, we know that you're more than willing to break that off and set us free. Let's all stand.